Hello and welcome to the Green Front Radio. Always nice to start the program off with a bit of a laugh, even if it's sometimes just a laugh of irony, recognizing our dilemma that we're in, and no shortage of information about what that is exactly. The good news is that information connecting the dots between our extreme weather events, between lots of problems we're having across the environmental spectrum, beginning to get picked up by Americans. The latest research shows about 60% of Americans now understand that it is climate change causing our extreme weather. We'll get a little bit more of that as we go forward into the show, and I want to start right away because we've got three great guests lined up. And first, I want to welcome back to the program Senator Rob Hoge. He has just written a book hot off the press just in time for Earth Week. It's called America's Climate Century, What Climate Change Means for America in the 21st Century and What Americans Can Do About It. Welcome back to the Green Front, Senator.
Thanks, Betsy. Great to be on the show.
For those who maybe missed you first time around, I believe it was about a year ago, give or take a month or two, you had one particular weather event happen in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where you live with your wife and three children, that got you to sort of wake up and smell the carbon, to see that climate change had arrived. It was not a far-off-in-the-distance kind of a threat.
Well, that's right, Betsy. And for people who don't know who are listening to the show today, in 2008, we had an unprecedented record flood in Cedar Rapids. Previously, the record flood stage in downtown Cedar Rapids had been 21 feet for the Cedar River. On June 13th, 2008, we hit over 31 feet, more than 10 feet higher, a totally unprecedented flood event in the town that I represent and live in. And it was devastating. 25,000 people were evacuated. Nearly 1,000 businesses put out of business. 80% of our city government buildings were shut down, including our police station, our fire station, city hall, the jail, and the library. The worst disaster to ever hit a library in the country that wasn't a fire. So this was a catastrophic event. The good news was that nobody died. The other good news is, with a lot of federal and state assistance, we're recovering from that flood 5 years later. Iowans are hardworking and we're coming back. But what it did for me was, Betsy, I've always been kind of concerned about climate change since I was a college student in the mid-1980s. Have worked on the issue. But what it said to me was, you know what, there is a reality to this issue that we have to deal with. And it involves both cutting our emissions on the energy side, and it also involves making our country more resilient and preparing for these types of extreme weather disasters. We got to do both. We can't have a debate about either or and do nothing. We got to do both, and we urgently need to do it.
I imagine that's why you wrote your book.
Well, I did. I've been obviously disappointed with the pace of action in this country. Americans have been very, very patient on the climate issue, too patient. And what I wanted to do with the book was make something short, affordable, accessible, and basically, having been in elected office now for 11 years in the Iowa State Legislature, you know, I work with a lot of people who are very busy and don't have time to study an issue in the depth that maybe other people would like them to. So what I've done is I've written this book for elected officials, candidates, politically active citizens who have not been engaged in the climate issue, who want to get up to speed in a hurry. And it's 120 pages long. It's $10.95 over Amazon. People can also contact me directly for bulk discounts. I'm hoping to have an e-version out here in a couple months. But this is something that you can, if you haven't been engaged on the climate issue and you want to understand it, I go through the science, I take the skeptics head on and explain what they agree with that I think would surprise most Americans, how much of the science the skeptics actually agree with, and their disagreements are quite narrow, and that it doesn't make it junk science, it doesn't make it a hoax. So I go through the science, the consequences, like climate-related disasters, like the flood of 2008 in Cedar Rapids, but there's a whole range of consequences from climate change that we're going to increasingly need to deal with. I go through the solutions. I like to point out in there that, you know, this does not require the greatest sacrifice in American history, not even close. This is something that's doable. And finally, I have a section that goes through kind of American history American culture, American values, faith, freedom, those things that Americans care about. And I explain why this ought to be our new national purpose. This is something that can unite Americans, and America can help lead the world and pull the world together on this new effort to achieve sustainability despite this very, very serious danger for our future.
And I chuckled only because, you know, the sacrifice is going to be, you know, much worse if we don't pay attention, if we don't start addressing this.
Well, this is where it's a reality. And one of the things, you know, I started this book last summer after we'd done our interview, I think, or around that time. I had said, you know what, it's time to put this all together and get it out so a broader public can really spend a little bit of time. I think you can read the book in 3 to 4 hours, spend a little bit of time, get up speed on it. And then after I start the book, then you have Hurricane Isaac in Louisiana, which brings record rainfall to parts of Louisiana during the Republican National Convention.
Mm. And then, causing it to start a day late, Mitt Romney, you know, during that convention announced, you know, denounced President Obama for daring to care about the rising seas and state of the planet.
Right. Oh, that's exactly right. And then, of course, in October, Hurricane Sandy. And, you know, New York City has some of the oldest weather records in our country. And that brought unprecedented storm surges through New York City and across New Jersey and a lot of the East Coast. And I think for a lot of people who experienced Sandy, it was like what I experienced with the flood of 2008. These disasters are happening so often around our country now. Wildfires, heat, drought, floods, even the unprecedented tornadoes. I know there's some uncertainty there on the science. Are tornadoes related to climate change or not? But, you know, when you've experienced disasters like this, you know how important it is to deal with them, and that requires us both to reduce our greenhouse gases and also prepare for more extreme weather in the future. We have got to get ready. The stakes are high on this. This is a life or death issue for our country over the course of the 21st century, and we need to get ready, and we need to get out in front of it. We've been patient. We've wanted to see some of the consequences. We're seeing those. I compare it to being like Doubting Thomas for those who are in the Christian tradition, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. So, you know, Doubting Thomas, he wanted to see, well, we've seen this stuff now. We can't wait forever. We've got to get going on it.
Doubting Thomas, that takes us back to a more innocent time. What do you think as a Christian senator about the fossil fuel industry pouring billions into the disinformation campaign, which has certainly slowed, you know, progress, not only in public awareness, but in politicians having the courage to take action?
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. One of the benefits of energy conservation that I point out in the book is that if you conserve energy, you not only reduce your emissions and save money, you deprive the fossil fuel companies of some of that money they've used to distort the issues. But let me say this, Betsy. You know what? It's getting to the point where we've about gone far enough. But I still don't want people to blame the coal miners, blame the people who are drilling for oil. They're working, trying to support their families. And what we need to do is we need to come together as a country and say, you know what? We want jobs, but we don't want jobs at the cost of ever-increasing health and environmental damage and a severe threat to our future. We want jobs that help provide the clean energy we need in the future. We can create a lot of jobs through renewable energy, energy efficiency, rebuilding our rail system, rebuilding our communities, and we need to do all of that. And we've got to say to people, you know what? We've got to reduce coal consumption. We've got to reduce oil consumption. We very soon have to learn to leave fossil fuels in the ground. So let's do that. This isn't a huge sacrifice. This isn't remotely close to the sacrifices that people in my parents' generation made during World War II and the Cold War. We're not asking anybody to go to a foreign country to die to fight climate change. Mm-hmm. What we're asking is for people to be smarter, better energy consumers, go after renewable electricity. And those people who are going to have to make changes in their careers and in their jobs, we need to help them too. But we need to pull together as a country and take this issue on because this is a serious threat to our future.
Absolutely. You must have been heartened, as were so many of us, by the demonstration in Washington in February when some 40,000 protesters showed up to say we demand action on climate change. And I understand just last week for Earth Day you had some smaller demonstrations, but still, you know, notable in your home state.
We did, Betsy, and we had a great event at the state capitol with a 14-year-old from Des Moines, Glory Day Philippone, speaking about her concern, and she's one of those great leaders in the next generation who understands this issue. It's at the core of what she's about. We had about 60 kids and parents and grandparents at the capitol asking Congressman Latham, who's the congressman for the Des Moines area, in Congress to make 2013 a year of climate action, do something on climate change. And I would mention, back in February when there was the great rally in D.C., we did something because there were a lot of Iowans who didn't have the time, money, or carbon budget to get to D.C. for that event. So I helped organize events across our state. We had hundreds of Iowans go to 21 congressional offices in 10 cities across our state. We called it Climate Action Across Iowa, to ask our congressional delegation to take action on climate change. And by the way, we are an evenly divided congressional delegation, two Republicans, two Democrats in the House, one Republican, one Democrat in the Senate. This is something that people across the country can do in every congressional district in America. Routinely speak up with our congressional representatives. We cannot give them a pass on this issue. I understand people would like President Obama to do more. I want President Obama to do more, but we've got to get after Congress if we're going to have that level of action that we need and sustain it over 3 or 4 or 5 decades. We need Congress to get engaged on this issue positively. And I'm a believer, Betsy, that after Hurricane Sandy, every elected official in America needs a fresh opportunity to recognize how serious this threat is to our future. If record storm surges through New York City don't get us to act, what's it going to take? Are we going to wait till the water's there permanently? Let's get going on this issue. And I think that, Betsy, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a side here, but Americans did everything possible to stay out of World War II. We did not want to get into that war. And my parents' generation was part of that. They didn't want to get into the war. But then, you know what? We had to get into it. And we had, and lots of Americans lost their lives. We did what we had to do as a country to win that war. Well, it is similar in magnitude to that problem, maybe even greater because we've got to sustain this effort over so many decades. But none of us wanted climate change. But now this is the problem our generation has to deal with, and it's time for us to deal with it. So what I'm asking people to do is talk to your congressional representative about climate change. I don't care if he or she is a Republican or a Democrat. Talk to them, give them a chance to do the right thing. And if in 2014 they haven't done the right thing, well, then let's start looking for some congressmen and congresswomen who will do the right thing.
And speaking of that, Citizens Climate Lobby is going to be having their annual gathering to lobby Congress in a little less than 2 months. You're encouraging people to come to that. I guess anyone who's concerned about this issue is invited. I imagine there's a little bit of training that goes on before they hit the halls of Congress.
Yes, there is. It's going to be an event from June 23rd to 25th. I am planning to be there. I'm bringing my books to D.C. unless we're still in session in Iowa, which, I'm in the state legislature, and we may still be going there because we're a divided government, and we're trying to reach some compromises on some very hard issues. But this is something, if you can go to D.C., go to D.C. If you have the time, the money, the carbon budget to do it, go to D.C., help lobby Congress. But remember, you don't have to go to D.C. to lobby Congress either. Do something in your congressional district. This is something that everybody in every congressional district in America can do. So if you're not going to Citizens Climate Lobby June 23rd to 25th, organize something at your local congressman or congresswoman's district office. Organize something there and ask them to support climate action, including the carbon fee and dividend proposal that Citizens Climate Lobby supports, or all kinds of climate action, stopping Keystone, stopping drilling in the Arctic Ocean, regulating fracking to stop the exemptions for clean water and clean air, stopping coal export and natural gas export. We shouldn't be exporting our fossil fuels. That's just a terrible idea for our country.
And Keystone, what do you think is going to happen? Care to predict?
Well, I'm actually fairly confident about it. I think Secretary Kerry and President Obama understand the climate issue. I have talked to both of them about that when they've campaigned for president here in Iowa. I think they understand the severity of the climate issue. I think everybody knows that if Canada says we're going to take it to the Arctic, that's an idle threat on Canada's part. They can't build pipelines and a refinery up on the Arctic. That's just ridiculous. The Canadians will never put up with that. They can't take it to the West Coast because people oppose going to Vancouver and British Columbia. We have got to wean ourselves from the tar sands. We can't increase our dependence on the tar sands. It is the dirtiest soil on the world. And one other point on that, Betsy, and this is not climate related, but it is a point to be made. We had Randy Thompson, a Nebraska farmer, come to Iowa last October and speak at Iowa State University. And it is fundamentally wrong for a foreign oil company to be able to condemn American farms and ranches to transport foreign oil to a port in the United States for export on the global market. That is just fundamentally wrong. It's inconsistent with American values. So we need people to continue to speak up and tell President Obama this is not our national interest. This is contrary to our national interests. We cannot afford to build this pipeline and allow it to be built and to take so much away from our country in terms of protecting the environment, protecting health, and protecting American values.
And you'll be happy to know, just a couple weeks ago, we had the head of the Nebraska's Farmers Union on, John Hansen, I believe was his name. He was most articulate and outspoken on, you know, opposition on the part of a majority of farmers, he says, to Keystone XL.
Yeah, it is really incredible what ordinary Americans can do when they recognize a threat to themselves and their future. And Randy Thompson, same story. I mean, he's just an incredible leader for America now. And, you know, 4 years ago, he was just a rancher in Nebraska.
Mm. That's
now
right.
He's a national leader.
Randy was busy that day, so we got John, and he was just, I'm sure, as articulate and bold. And I don't know, I was really impressed with what I heard. They're very organized, and that's got to be heard. That's got to make a difference. Some other encouraging news before we let you go. The latest research out of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication, Anthony Lazarowitz's research, they do that every couple of months, and latest polling shows about 6 in 10 Americans say global warming is affecting weather in this country. About 2 out of 3 say weather has been worse over the past several years. That's up about 12 percentage points since a year ago. So obviously some of the events we saw, especially Superstorm Sandy hitting the power capital of the country, New York City, Jersey Coast, really is having some impact. And then some other encouraging news. This is a bit personal, but it's really more professional than that, so I'll share it. I got a nice surprise at the end of last week for Earth Week, and that was an invitation to the White House for later this month. They're organizing the Environmental Council on Environmental Quality is organizing a women's leadership summit on climate and energy. And I don't know exactly who all is being invited, but people who have been working for some reason are focusing on women, which is fabulous, to gather together to talk about, you know, effective communication strategies and also to offer some networking opportunities so we can find out what each other's doing in, you know, nonprofit, media, government, and perhaps business as well. So that's a good sign, I think.
Yeah, Betsy, that's a great sign. And I just go back to the book for a minute. I put this together so that people can get up to speed on this issue. And what I really want to do is help build the movement that we so urgently need. And I think America is ready for that. You know, there are faith leaders who are speaking out about climate change, business leaders speaking out climate change, retired military leaders like Dennis McGinn speaking out about climate change, you know, and all kinds of grassroots efforts across the country like Citizens Climate Lobby, 350.org, the established environmental groups. I think America is ready to make this our new national purpose. I encourage people to get the book, take a look at it. When you're done with it, share it with your friends, give it to your local library, make it accessible. Use it as an educational tool if that's helpful. But that's why I put it together. I've been speaking about climate change all across Iowa, other places in the Midwest, and I said, you know what, we need something that people can rally around. There aren't too many books on climate change with a red, white, and blue cover written by a by an elected official in the Iowa State Legislature. I hope people will take a look at it. But whatever you do, whether you get the book or you don't, keep speaking up with Congress, keep organizing, keep building. We are on the verge of a breakthrough moment in this country, and I think we're really, really close. I think the American people are ready for it.
Well, God bless you, and I endorse the book, and you've got, even more importantly, an endorsement from Bill McKibben, saying this is a concise, accurate, and above all practical guide to the great problem of our time. It gets beyond ideology to concentrate on what needs doing now. It is a paperback. It's very readable at 120 pages, and I hope to get through it soon. I'm sure I'll learn a lot, even though there's a lot that we talk about every week on this show. And by the way, when I go to Washington this month, I'm going to be lobbying for, you know, more support for the kind of, you know, programming that we do here, so we can get people like you, Senator Hoag, on to, you know, talk about what needs to happen, and so you can get your fellow legislators to get on board. So thank you for your contributions and for joining us today.
Well, and thank you, Betsy. You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to find out what has been found and taking a closer look at the BP oil spill impacts 3 years later on not only our environment, but our health. We'll be right back.